What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX. Happy Friday. Remind you that Sunday evening at 10 p.m. on News Channel 5, Mike Bush does a segment called Making a Difference. And he was kind enough to make this one about my work with NODA, No One Dies Alone, at Bethesda. And I'm such a softie. I'm so Scottish. I was just talking to my good friend Ryan Wiggins from 97.1. And he flips houses now, and he was interested in my mom's house, and I went to tell him that we had sold it to someone, and he was talking about my work with NODA, and I'm just bawling. So I've just been crying for 5 minutes, and if you want to hear me or see me cry, just I'll cry on TV and I'll cry on the radio. So one of the ladies, Linda, who was the first out of like the 40-45 volunteers that we have who sit with people who are passing away, there's like 10 or 15 of them now from the DGS.
That's so great.
And Linda, who was the first to join, was interviewed by Mike, and she said, "I've been listening to KMOX for 40 years, and I never heard anyone cry."
Until Dave.
And made an impression on her. So she joined, and now she's doing the vigils.
Not all the changes you've made are for the goofy, the goofy side,
no,
right?
You're right. You're right about that. Our good friend Bernie Miklas joins us now. Hello, Bern.
Dave, I enjoyed listening to you talking there, and I got to say, I'm really looking forward to watching that segment that Mike Bush is doing on Sunday night. I'll make sure I'm setting that up to record, because that's an amazing, wonderful thing that you're doing, and my great appreciation for you, my man.
Thank you, buddy. Okay, so let's start here. So I love playing the part, because I am the part of the guy in the bleachers. You guys are the experts. I'm the guy eating a hot dog. It seems to me, and I'd love to hear your analysis of this, that from where I'm sitting, if we do keep Nolan Arenado, that if he went away, it would be rebuilding. It would be give the kids as many at-bats as you can get. Maybe we make the playoffs. Probably not, but we're rebuilding for the future. If you keep Nolan, it seems that you're setting yourself up for a worse team, because you're letting a few decent players go to get the payroll down, and you're not making room for the young players to get a chance. Is there some merit to that, or am I missing a major element?
No, you're right on. I mean, because – It's sort of a lose-lose situation for the Cardinals, Dave. You nailed it. I mean, like you said, if Arenado stays, we're all assuming that means they're going to cut costs elsewhere. It could be trading Eric Fetty. It could be eating some money to trade Steven Matz. It could even be trading Ryan Helsley. And, you know, on top of that, if he stays, then what their plans are sort of gummed up, because they won't be able to do what they wanted to do. Playing Nolan Gorman at third base, which also there's a ripple effect, which means that some other players will get boxed out, not have as many opportunities to be on the field. So it sort of messes with their 2025 plan, but it certainly doesn't help them get better, because like you alluded to, we would expect more subtractions from the roster to compensate for the fact that Arenado's still here. And if he isn't here, you know, they'll at least be able to enact their plan to play more young guys, but there's not a reason to believe, you know, unless they're going to improve the roster some way. unless all these young guys go bananas and are really, really, really outstanding, then I don't see where the Cardinals can be better in 2025 than they were 2024. They'll probably be worse again, unless some people exceed expectations.
Right. It's fascinating because they've been so open, Bernie, about the reset, and they and Mo and Bill DeWitt Jr., Bill DeWitt the third, they've all talked about and specifically referenced going young, playing the young guys. And if you can't move Arenado the way that we're talking about now, then you're basically, you have one change from last year. You'll have one and a half, right? The half would be hopefully a healthy Contreras being there all year instead of missing half the year. But you'd be swapping out Paul Goldschmidt for Walker. That would really be the only significant, meaningful change in the lineup, which would be going younger, but it's only one guy. It's only one spot, right?
Man, I'm so glad you say that, because I feel like, to be honest with you, I feel like this offseason I've maybe been getting on people's nerves because every time I say this or I write it, I've said it a lot. It's like, well, you know, the Cardinals actually started playing a lot of young guys last year.
Yeah.
So this isn't really all that dramatic. And every time I say that, I swear to you, people are like, well, what are you talking about? They're going to go young this year. Yeah, I've been saying, yeah. But most of the guys they're going young with were playing a lot last year. Oh, so thank you, Kevin Wheeler.
Yeah.
I'm gonna restore a little bit of my sanity.
I want to throw this part in, too, though. Like, some of the movement towards young needs to happen in the rotation. And right now, your rotation is 35-year-old Sonny Gray, 32-year-old Eric Fetty, 36-year-old Miles Michaelis, 33.5-year-old Steven Matz, and then 26-year-old Andre Pallante. So if we're going young, you need to move at least one of those guys out, at least to create an opportunity for a Michael McGreevy, or eventually, you know, Quinn Matthews is going to go to big league camp. He's going to be sooner rather than later, unless he has an arm problem. Whether it's, you know, those guys that we mentioned or Graceffo or eventually Tink Hentz. I mean, like, there's no spot in the rotation to go young today unless you move someone out. And that should happen whether you move Arenado or not.
No, that's exactly right. That's why I've been skeptical about the entire premise that this is going to be the season of the young guys, because the young guys were already playing a lot last year. And like you just pointed out, they don't have any vacancies in the rotation, really, unless they clear somebody out. They haven't done it. So they have, you know, that's the interesting thing. We all know they haven't added anything, but this roster, in effect, if they're sincere about doing what they want to do in 2025, this roster actually demands some subtractions be made, because that's the only way it's going to work. It's the only way you're going to get young pitchers in the rotation. So it's a very confusing time, because the Cardinals, and I've saying this a lot lately too, they're kind of just staying in the middle. You know, John Mozeliak has kind of had this team in the middle. Not awful, except for 2023. Not awful, you know, competitive, winning record. Maybe in the hunt for a wild card spot. Maybe they can win the division. Kind of right in the middle. Kind of maybe, well, you never know type thing. They won't commit to a true rebuild, which is what they probably need. And keep in mind, all of you great people listening, when I say rebuild, I'm not talking about tearing and burning the house down.
Right.
And you're sentencing yourself to 5 years of misery. I'm not saying that. You can do a rebuild on the fly, but they're not really committed to doing that. And they're not committed to trading assets that would make, like Helsley and Fetty, that would make them better in the future. They're stuck in the middle. And it's for me anyway, it's really frustrating to watch. It's like, pick a path and go.
What do you think? And I know that, you know, we're just talking about this because we're in the off season, so we're thinking about the roster that will be there when the team reports to Jupiter or when we're getting to opening day. Do you think some of that will be accomplished, like, on the fly? Because I look at it now, and since you're in this process at the moment, I mean, I would even be looking at trading guys like Jojo Romero, who only has this year and next year under team control, who would get you a good return as a power lefty who's 28 and has 2 years of control, or maybe even a John King who's 30, and give that time to Zach Thompson. Give those innings to some other guys that you have control over for the next 3, 4, 5 years. Again, maybe some of that is just best done in season, where you can take advantage of teams that are trying to help themselves for a playoff run. So this doesn't all have to be done by opening day. It's just interesting that we expected this offseason to be one of change, and it's just been so slow.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Romero, because one of the things I find really interesting about him is that he was really, really good for a long time and really appreciated watching him pitch. But he lost his swing and miss stuff, and he lost it terribly.
Yeah.
He struck out 31% of batters the first month of the season. After that, it was, wow. I mean, it just like went off the cliff in terms of swing and miss stuff. So there may be something wrong with him in terms of like maybe he's just lost steam, but he's not the guy that we think he is if you look underneath the surface numbers.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he stopped striking people out. That's always a concern when you have a reliever.
Yeah.
So we have guys like Sejacy and Weatherholt to look forward to, positional players. Who are you guys looking forward to seeing some young pitchers in Jupiter?
Well, I think the obvious choices, you know, Quinn Matthews, Tink Hentz, those guys. Cooper Yerpe is another one who is, you know, I think definitely on the radar to join this rotation within the next couple of years. That's one thing about the Cardinals. They are developing some really good young arms. I'm also curious in seeing a guy like Ian Bedell. He was a Mizzou pitcher, and that's not why I'm saying that. But when he's been healthy, he's got nasty, nasty stuff, and he's invited to camp. I could see him if he has a healthy season. I could see him in their bullpen at some point this season. So I kind of have a pretty wide view. I mean, I'm curious about a lot of players. I just don't know, and pitchers. I just don't know when they're going to get their opportunity.
Yeah, there are some interesting ones to me. I mean, I'm really fascinated by a guy like Gordon Graceffa, who showed up to spring training a couple years ago and had gotten this, you know, his velocity had peaked. You know, he was starting to touch 98, 99, and he was a guy that was much lower than that before. And that seemed to regress a bit last year, but he also had some nagging problems. I'd be curious to see him. And I also want to see, too, Bernardo. I keep coming back to this. This is my theme of the offseason, is adaptability, flexibility, trying new things. And I wouldn't mind seeing some of these guys, if they're stalling as starters, giving them a look in the bullpen to see if it's any different. Because as we look at this, the guys that are at AAA now have guys on their heels that are coming at AA, and at some point, you're just not going to get them all into the rotation. Mm-hmm. So I would be really interested to see if they're going to be looking to be more aggressive, and maybe a guy like Graceffa, who can maintain the velocity at 97, 98 if he's pitching in the pen as opposed to as a member of the rotation.
I like that.
Yeah, I don't see him as a starter at all. I think they ought to groom him as a reliever reasons you just specified.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a good starter in the major leagues.
No.
Doesn't last.
There's a starter there's a guy in the minor leagues that I'm super interested in. I did not see if he was on the NRI list, the non-roster invitation list, but he's a guy that I'm going to be keeping an eye on this year, and They're playing it slowly with him because he's an international player. It's Chen-Wei Lin, who is a 6'7" right-handed pitcher from Chinese Taipei, and he's 23. And he pitched at a low level last year. He was in A ball last year at Palm Beach, but he had a 2.79 ERA. He strikes a lot of people out. His fastball gets into the mid 90s, starting to creep into the upper 90s. Like, that may be a sleeper to keep an eye on, you know, big 6'7" righty that doesn't get a lot of love, but might be a top 10 prospect for them, you know, when we get to those lists coming out.
Yeah, it would be good for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I like Graceffa in the pen. I liked him a lot last year when he came up.
I like Cooper Yerpe in the pen, too, and I'm not saying give up on it, but, man, he's a funky lefty, and I'm not sure the delivery holds up with the workload of a starter, and he's had some injury problems, but he was a first rounder for a reason, because he can pitch and he's got a lot of deception. And if he were working in the pen, that could be a dominant back end guy.
Byrne, tell us about Saliga.
My pleasure. Saliga Heating and Cooling has been around serving St. Louis family since 1927. And I like the fact that the Saliga family, four generations now, Dan is the fourth generation owner operator. They're serving families. The same family is serving families, you know, since 1927 here in St. Louis. It's just a wonderful business. It's a wonderful family, wonderful tradition. They also are an independent American Standard heating air conditioning dealer. They can do anything you need in terms of your heating and cooling. They also have some other services that have very little or nothing to do with heating or cooling. So I want you to just go to SaligaHeatingandCooling.com and check out all the services. You'll find some things in there that you might have a need for, like duct cleaning, for example, and they just all kinds of different things. And of course, the one One thing I want to, you know, continue to reinforce is that they have a thing called the Priority Club. It's a maintenance club. It's basically a maintenance program, and they call it the Priority Club. And we're members of it in the Minklis home. You know, we've been a Saliga family for 16 years, but we've also been in this Priority Club for quite a while. And it really works out well for you because there's a lot of benefits to preventative maintenance, safety, peace of mind, economical benefits, because you can extend your equipment life. And that way things aren't breaking down. You don't have to replace them all the time, because Saliga Heating and Cooling can make sure everything's running right, and they can make some tweaks and adjustment, maybe some minor repairs to keep it going so you extend the life rather than having a sudden emergency. You can always trust their service, man. They're the best. You also get priority scheduling. There's also financing options available subject to credit approval. And, of course, you got that American Standard equipment behind it if you need it. It's Saliga Heating and Cooling, 314-481-7333. And just check everything out by going to SaligaHeatingandCooling.com. Thank you and have a great weekend.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night. I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the
DGS and KMOX, happy Friday. Hope everyone gets through this weekend and next early week cold. So some fun facts. This one's really interesting. There was a 19th century Greek Orthodox monk named something I can't pronounce who died without ever seeing a woman.
Ever seeing?
Never seeing a woman. His mother died during childbirth, and he lived all 82 years of his life in the monastery where women were forbidden. He never left, not once.
Poor guy. Did he know that he didn't see a woman?
He knew that women existed, okay. But he, I'm sure he saw pictures of women or representations of women, but he never met one in real life.
That's not great.
That's really getting to you.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
That would be terrible.
Progresso is selling cough drops that taste like chicken noodle soup. Have you seen this one? They look really gross. They immediately sold out online when they announced them. They're selling two more batches Thursday and the Thursday after.
It doesn't sound like the worst thing ever, but I wouldn't go there. I'm eating them.
Yeah?
I'll do it.
Study found that parents do treat their children differently, and their favorites are most likely to be daughters and agreeable kids.
Well, gee, I wonder why it's the agreeable kids.
Agreeable is really funny.
I have a favorite child.
Yeah.
Well, I only have one, so.
It's his dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to say.
He's not very agreeable, so
I
know it's not
really
him.
Do like and love my kids equally because I favor my daughter, but Nick's my boy. You know what I mean?
No, they're different.
He's my
yeah.
ride or die.
And you also have the gap where it is different, right? It's not like if they're 2 years apart and there's a, quote, favorite and they both know it and they grow up that way. It's a totally different thing when you've got the gap.
Yeah. For some reason, they put out a list of least licked body parts.
All right.
You want the top five?
I know what number one better be.
You'd be wrong.
Oh, no.
I think you're way wrong about that.
Oh, no.
Let's do a few.
Extremely wrong.
inside the nostril. Elbows.
Elbows?
Tonsils.
What's inside?
I hit a couple of those in my day. Front of the knee,
all right.
Back of the knee.
Uh huh.
The top two are the scalp.
All right.
And the number one, underneath the eyelid. Who the hell puts these lists together?
All right, so that one makes sense, but number one should be clear, and I'm not going any further.
It ain't.
It wasn't even in the top 20.
It's not even on the list.
Not even on the list.
It's not even on the list. It's not supposed to that.
Who are these people?
Stop doing that.
What are they doing? You know I'll be here alone.